This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Roshan and Noel. Now, in about half an hour, we'll be speaking with Nurul Izzah Anwar, MP for Permatang Pauh, on women's representation in politics or the lack thereof. We're running a poll on the subject as well on the BFM Twitter account at BFM Radio, asking you, should youth and women's wings in political parties be phased out? Tell us why or why not. But in the meantime, we're turning our attention to the Malaysian stock market, because after spending most of last year being the most unloved market in ASEAN, Malaysian equities appear have outperformed regional peers this year with only a year-to-date decline of -5%.
Like all markets globally, the FUM KLCI suffered steep declines but has since largely recovered. I think the question is, can it continue to outperform?
So with the loan moratorium ending later as well this month and Malaysia's status in the World Government Bond Index in question, could we see investors choose to lock in their gains and sell down the market? For more insights, so we are speaking this morning with Tushar Mohata, Head of ASEAN Equity Research at Nomura. Tushar, thank you so much for joining us. Now, what are the key reasons that you think the Malaysian equity market has outperformed its regional peers?
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, for a nice change, Malaysia has done better than all of the other ASEAN peers. And there are actually several justifications why we think this is the case. I mean, the first and the most visible one we think is that we really managed to control the spread of COVID-19 quite well after being one of the first ones to do a hard lockdown in ASEAN. And because of that, we have almost fully reopened now, except for tourism. So if you look at mobility data, it is only down 20% from the pre-COVID levels. So this sets the stage for a nice rebound in economic activity. Second, I think the government stimulus measures, the central bank's proactive steps in declaring a six-month loan moratorium, over the long term, all this will result in better asset quality for the banks as borrowers have got relief during this tough period. So that helps. Third, which was a bit of a lucky break for Malaysia, we were helped by the presence of glove makers in the KLCI index. These stocks have been a very investable way for global investors to play the COVID-19 healthcare theme. And these stocks have done quite well, and they have helped in keeping the index up this year. Finally, retail investors have been very active in the market as well. So that helped offset some of the foreign outflows we have seen this year.
And Tushar, on that note, right, they are taking a longer-term view. Do you think Malaysia will continue to outperform regional peers? And what would support that, if you think so?
Okay, yeah, this is, to be honest, it's a very hard question to answer because Malaysia competes for equity flows not just with ASEAN, but with a lot of other emerging markets as well, such as China, Korea, Taiwan, India. Ultimately, Malaysia would need to show sustained earnings growth to be able to outperform its peers. This has been missing in the past, at least for the benchmark KLCI index. Structurally, while we do not have a lot of technology stocks in the benchmark index yet, but we do have a lot of small and mid-cap technology stocks, which are becoming larger over time. I think this puts Malaysia in a better shape, at least over its ASEAN peers, because these stocks over a longer period of time can help come into the index and then help Malaysia outperform. So that's one of the positive aspects which the Malaysian market has.
What happens when the loan moratorium ends this month? What's the impact on the financial sector?
Yeah, so we will have a targeted extension beyond September for those borrowers who are affected by job losses, salary cuts, or even revenue losses for business due to COVID-19. So the good thing banks have been doing is during this six-month auto moratorium, they have already been identifying borrowers who they, in their own assessment, might need to have an extension and offering them their options. They are hosting all these repayment clinics as well. So far, I've been speaking with some of the banks, and what I've heard is that while this is still a very ongoing process, it's still going on, the number of borrowers who are applying for an extension is roughly less than 10% or much less than 10% of the current number of borrowers who are in moratorium. So the impact so far seems quite manageable for the financial sector.
And on the other side, would the end of the moratorium shrink retail participation in the markets?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So this perception right now that after the moratorium ends, retail flows will just evaporate, disappear from the market as people will just start paying back their loans. So we looked at the loan repayment data, which Bank Negara discloses, which is like a system repayment numbers. And what we found is that actually repayments have already been gradually rising since June itself. And I think while there will be a reduction in retail flows in the stock market from October onwards, it will not fall off a cliff or just disappear. We think there will be a more gradual decline towards year end. So I think the impact will be not a catastrophic impact that will just evaporate overnight.
And Tushar, the other reason to watch for late September is the FTSE Russell review on Malaysia's place in the World Global Bond Index, which is keenly followed by foreign investors. Is there a possibility that the country might be excluded? And if so, what kind of an impact might we see?
So Malaysia has been on the watch list for exclusion since last year. However, Bank Negara has already implemented many measures to address FTSE Russell's concerns. They helped to facilitate such as onshore hedging, market access activities. So hopefully those will be enough to keep Malaysia in the index. But even if in the worst case scenario, Malaysia is excluded, there should only be a very short-term impact on the ringgit due to some debt outflows. But bear in mind that Malaysia fixed income is still attractive compared to a lot of global peers, offers positive yields. So the outflows might not be that big after all. So I think it's going to be quite manageable.
Tushar, we've got just about a minute and a half left here. What's your end target for KLCI this year? What's it based on and what are your top picks? Sorry to cram so much there.
Yeah. No worries. So for 2020 year end, our index target is 1570, and for 2021, it's 1720. So these are based on 15.5 times the respective next year's earnings numbers. So because we are expecting a big V-shaped recovery next year, we expect index also to reflect that. And we have a bunch of stock picks across sectors, which include some of the pandemic plays plus some of the laggard plays as well. So for example, we continue to like Top Glove and Supermax from the glove sector. But on the other hand, from banks, we continue to like the more retail-focused ones, such as Hong Leong Public Bank. From construction, we like Gamuda, Westport from the transport sector, Dialog from oil and gas, Sime Darby in the conglomerate space. And within the technology sector, we continue to like Pentamaster, Globetronics, VS Industry, amongst others. So those are some of the key ideas we have been advising investors to buy.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Tushar. That was Tushar Mohata, Head of ASEAN Equity Research at Nomura, talking to us about the Malaysian equity sector and equity market, and how it has currently outperformed its regional peers. And his expectation is for 1570 by the end of the year and 1720 by the end of 2021 because of the expectation of a V-shaped recovery.
Or rather a K-shape, or well, it also much depends whether the vaccine will be discovered.
Absolutely. But right now we are heading into the 7:30 news bulletin, and then up next we're going to be speaking with Catherine Dunn Tempus of the University of Virginia on the Supreme Court vacancy in the US. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.